Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel lesson, Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter, as well as our Old Testament lesson from Lamentations, chapter 3. Well, if there's one thing that most people hate, and I am going to use that word hate, is that people hate to wait, having to just wait about on anything. Let's take, for example, going to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Yeah, all right, so you can share in that, right? Waiting in line. Well, I've experienced, that's untold how much time I've spent at the DMV here. Just one car. I finally got one car titled here, all right? It's taken 6 weeks, okay? Four or five times being there, still waiting on some other information from some other banks, all right? So needless to say, it's a little... I hate it. Okay. Well, waiting in line, okay? Hate waiting in line, okay? You know, you can go to amusement parks, too, and you wait in line there, right? Take Six Flags, for instance. So they've taken advantage of the fact that people hate to wait in line. So what do they have? They have what they call is the Flash Pass. You can buy this, okay? You buy it for the day. And what it does is that enables you to reserve a time in line. So if you get the Flash Pass there, and so you see a big long line, it's like 2 hours wait, well, they'll sit there, and it'll reserve a time for you, and you go into a separate line, and so when your time shows up, you just walk right up and get on the ride. So you can go do something else. You can go see a show, go eat lunch, whatever. Well, it was so successful that now they've got a gold Flash Pass. Yeah. This enables you to cut down the wait time by 50%. And that was so successful, they also have a platinum Flash Pass, okay? And so this and it cuts off 90% of the wait time. Now, of course, all of these things are incredibly costly, all right? It's like triple and quadruple the price of the ticket to get in. People pay that kind of money. Why? Because our time is precious to us. What's another item we don't like to wait for? How about God? How many of you have ever waited for a prayer to be answered? Yeah, that too. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. Waiting on the Lord is frustrating. It's nerve-wracking. It can even be discouraging because you start getting thoughts in your heads there, thinking, like, is he really up there listening to me? Waiting on the Lord, quite frankly, is a test of faith. Just look at a couple of verses from our Old Testament lesson for today. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Really, Lord? Okay. It is good that one should wait quietly? Yes. Why? Because the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Now we see something similar to that in our gospel reading for this morning. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea, and then came out one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. What we have here is a very touching moment of a father who is struggling. He's struggling because his daughter, and in Luke's account there, talks about how that is his only daughter, is at the point of death. And who is the father? His name is Jairus. Now, he's one of the synagogue rulers. Now, he did something here that was very unexpected. He came, once he saw Jesus there, running up to Jesus, and what did he do? He fell at his feet, and he implored him earnestly. Which means he's begging. Here he is in front of the crowd, in front of everybody. This is a synagogue ruler. He's going there in front of Jesus, at his feet, fell on there, begging Jesus to come and heal his daughter. Now, the fact that there was a crowd there says all kinds of things about people there knowing about Jesus. They know that he can heal people. They can know he can do some amazing things, that he is compassionate. And indeed, Jesus went with Jairus, the father. Now, amidst of this story here, we have another story. A woman who had trouble with bleeding. Okay, this has been going on there for 12 years. And so with that there, she sees Jesus, and she's like, well, she's heard about him and knows that he's a healer and those kinds of things. And so she's just thinking to herself, she's like, you know, if I just go up and if I just touch his garments, I know I'm going to be healed. So she makes her way through the crowd there and goes up to Jesus. And she touches him. Now, what's so important about this for her? Sure, for 12 years now, okay, she's been bleeding here and that kind of thing, but the thing about this, though, is that makes her unclean, okay? Which means she can't go to church to worship. So for 12 years, she hasn't been inside the synagogue at all. For 12 years, she's unclean, which means nobody else wants to touch her, no hugs, no kisses, no greetings like we do here before worship, okay? Can't do that. Because then that person is unclean. And if they do that and they touch her, whatever, then they have to wait 7 days before they can be cleansed. So this is going on. She's been struggling like this for 12 years. And so she went up there and touched him. And immediately she knows that she's been healed. She can tell in her body that this is done. Amazing. Now, Jesus sensed that the power had gone out from him when this had happened. And so he turns around, and he's like, who touched my garments? Now, me, I would have been exactly like the disciples. You know, it's just like, really, Jesus? You know, all these people around here? Okay, all these people around here, it's kind of like, you know, if you had a sports personality, famous movie star, walking in the mall. You know, people are going to want to come up to that person there, you know, grab out their phones, you know, get a selfie and all that kind of stuff. That's what's going on around Jesus. And they're sitting there, he's like, Jesus, really? You're asking who touched me? Come on. But the woman, she knew there, okay? Knowing that this had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now, for all those who doubt Jesus all-knowing there and him asking this question, why would he do that? Well, think about this. He wanted the woman to come and confess in her own words what had happened. Think about our witness when we go and share and tell others what God has done for us in our lives. How much more powerful that witness is. That's what Jesus wanted. You see, with God, all things are possible. And that happened here, clearly demonstrated in this woman's life who had been ill like this for 12 years. She had waited and waited and waited on God, and he came through. This situation sounds like a verse or two out of our Old Testament lesson, does it not? The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes the waiting seems like it's forever, even when it's not. And while Jesus was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing it, and interestingly enough here, that word overhearing can also mean ignore. And I prefer ignore in this particular case. But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Now recall that verse that I just read. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jesus shows up at Jairus' house. And there's a commotion going on. People are making a fuss and they're crying and Jesus is asking, it's like, what's all this commotion going on? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with them and went into where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement, and he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. People laughed at Jesus. But he ignored them. And when it comes to matters of faith and people are, you know, laughing at us, we too should ignore them as well. He put them out of the house and took the little girl by the hand and said, "Get up," and she did. Do you realize by Jesus touching this dead body, he was unclean? But yet she rose alive. By the woman who touched his garments, making him unclean, she too was healed. Doesn't stop God from acting, okay? Didn't stop Jesus at all. And if you think about it here, he healed the girl, he healed the woman. How old was the girl? 12 years. When she was born, that's when this problem started for this woman. 12. The two events are related. Think about how he told the old woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And he healed the synagogue ruler's daughter as well. There are no coincidences in the Bible, okay? Things happen for a reason. We see people here, young and old alike, who are unclean, who are healed. Doesn't stop God from working a miracle. And, well, there was a physician. No physician could heal the daughter. No physician could heal that poor woman. In fact, she went broke paying everybody off. Sounds like what happens today, too, doesn't it? But with God, all things are possible. There's a reminder here for us that sometimes we have to be patient for God to act. When the time is right, God acts for his own purposes. When the time was right, Jesus came. Jesus came and took our sins away from us. Going to the cross and dying there, earning forgiveness of sins for us. Those who have faith now have the certainty of getting into heaven. And the salvation that was given to us by God is ours. But indeed, there are other events that happen to us, events not unlike what happened to the two daughters, events that show us that life indeed is uncertain. So we turn to the Lord and we offer up prayers. And God does answer our prayers. He says yes, he says no, and he says wait. And waiting is the hard thing for us, because seemingly the right answer to our prayers might go right there in front of us, you know, right there in front of our eyes, and we're like, "Lord, look, it's right there," and now it's gone. And there we are waiting again. But our God is faithful. Our God is trustworthy. Our God is compassionate. Our God is loving. God will act when it is best for him. And when it is best for him also happens to be when it is best for us. It's also, too, happens to be best for others to see that God does act in our lives and in the world. You see, the two daughters in our gospel lesson prove very clearly here for us that with God, all things are possible. There are times in which we just have to be a little patient and trust. And that's where we can leave again with a reminder from our Old Testament lesson for today. And let me leave you with this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.